All right, so I may need some backup on this one, since I'm going to try to answer them on the fly. Okay, so this one, I believe everybody but one person got it right, and the person who got it wrong probably just couldn't get Python to install. So there, I don't think anybody had a question with this. You do what it says. You get the program running, then you type in the first block of numbers, second block of numbers, and there's a check digit that does itself. Just tell me what that was. Enter all 12 spaces in a row into Google what product is this UPC referred to. This blew me away. I don't know if anybody else thought that was cool. But Google, if you type in a UPC code into Google, it looks it up for you. It tells you what it is. And it actually notices that it's a UPC. It doesn't just do a regular web search. It actually does a specific UPC search. And, and in particular, gives you a link to not to how to buy that product, but a description of what that product is. And I picked something that seemed delicious. It was like Kit Kats or something like that. But something chocolate. Crisp, what was it? Extra crispy. Because, regular crispy is okay, but that extra crispy. All right, and in particular, I also picked something so that if you didn't get the right check digit, if you typed in this sequence and then put the wrong digit at the end, you wouldn't get anything. Or if you just typed in those sequences, you wouldn't get anything. A lot of the products that I thought of to use for this problem, if you typed in the first, the sequence of digits without the check bit, some web page would come up telling you what it actually was. This was the first one that I ran across where you actually needed to have computed the check. So, anyway, I thought that was sort of a fun little exercise. All right, find two different UPC barcodes from products from the same company, like in your house or something, or apartment. Remember, the company is the five digits starting at the second one. What are the products and the codes? I think everybody got full credit for this one. What's missing? I've hidden three of the digits from the barcode on the next page. What digit is behind the first blue box? Hint, you can use the Python program to see which digit makes the bars look right. Or you can carefully count the bars and lines and use the lecture notes to disclose the digit. I presume that everybody did the first one. I stared at the bars quite a bit and tried to do it by hand, and it's doable. It's just really tedious. What digit is behind the second red box? And what is the check digit for the green box? It turned out that the answer for this one was pi. Did anybody notice that? This is 3.1415, this should be 9, 2.6, that should be 5, 3.5, and it just so happened that the last digit was the check digit just worked out to be the actual next digit of pi. It turns out that the first 12 digits of pi is a valid UPC code. Didn't have to be that way, it just worked out. I was almost not going to put it because I thought it would be too obvious, but that's only because I see the world in a very weird way. All right. So let's see if we can do this one. A 3-megapixel digital camera has an image size of 2,048 by 1,536 pixels. How many bits is a picture from this camera? So you actually have to multiply these two numbers together, and that gets you the number of pixels. Then, how many bits are in a pixel? On the previous page, it says that, by and large, a pixel is specified by 1 byte or 8 bits for each of R, G, and D. So that's 8 times 3 times those other two numbers. So I'm not going to do the product, but presumably that's not hard for anybody. At normal speaking rates, a person takes, and a person was me in this case, I just stopwatched myself, about 350 seconds to say 1,000 words. I didn't do 1,000 words. I did some small number of words and multiplied it up. How many bits is 1,000 words recorded at 128 kilobits per second? So again, it's just multiplying by. Do you get what I was getting at here? So this is which is worth more, a picture or 1,000 words? Which has more bits? Picture's worth 1,000 words. It turned out that one was like 10 times more than the other, right? But I think the picture was a lot more bits. That seem right? Does anybody want to see if he multiply numbers together, or are we okay with, you understand what needed to happen? Go ahead.
You don't have to multiply together, but like, what did you multiply for the second
one? All right, that's fine. All right, so it takes 1,000 words, takes 350 seconds. Okay. And how many bits is 1,000 words recorded at 128 kilobits per second? So kilobits, 128 kilobits per second, which is how fast most digital recording devices go. Kilobits per second. So kilobits means 1,000 bits. So it's that many bits. Okay, so I did this backwards. So per second times 350 seconds for 1,000 words equals 128 times 350, bits, oh, per word, whoops, I shouldn't have canceled that. So it's really just the 350 times 1,000 times 128, that's the number of bits to say 1,000 words. And it ended up being less than a picture.
Chalk is cheap, at least in terms of storage.
All right, we good? Okay, all right, so I did get some feedback that this, we did go over this a little bit in class, like this actual problem. But when things were handed in, there was certainly some confusion. And since this is, here's the thing to know, right? I think I'm going to construct the midterm by taking every question on the homework that has the tag exam style and put that on the test with different, like I'll wire things slightly differently, right? So I'll put this A to there. So I'll just make the circuit a little different. I'll make the examples that you're adding bits a little different so you can't just copy what was right on the homework. But I won't make up a new kind of problem. So if you see a question with this tag and you're just still guessing at it, that would be a good thing to find out how to do it straight up so that you can actually just do it on the exam. So notice also I tagged the A, the B, I just was curious what people would say. I'll tell you, well, once we figure it out, I'll tell you what I would say. All right, so how do we do this? Well, this is a truth table. It gives all different combinations of possible inputs of A and B, and we want to know what could come out on the C wire. So, all right, so if both of A and B are false, that means that the power is off on this wire and the power is off on this wire. And remember how these relays work. If the power's off, the switch closes. So both of these switches are in the closed position. So they're connected all the way across. The power source is basically always true, always on. The power will flow, it'll go across this because it's closed, it'll come out here, and C will be on. It actually doesn't, at the moment, doesn't even matter what's happening up here. C is definitely going to be on. So that gives us this. All right, in the case where A is false and B is true, so if A is false, that means this switch closes, the power is going to flow, it will be able to go across this because this is off, and it'll come out. So we'll have C as being true. On the other hand, if we have A is true and B is false, so if B is false, then there's no power on this line here. The switch will close. The power source, energy from the power source will be able to go all the way across and come out C. So again, this is also true. At this point, you might be feeling like, well, there's no way to get anything else. But if A and B are both true, so A is true, that means this, there's power on this line which opens the switch. There's power on this line which opens this switch. Now, power coming through here can't make it across. Power that's coming up here can't make it across. There's no way for there to be power on either of these lines. They're both false. And so C will remain false. So the only way that C is false in this case is if both A and B are true. So that's part A. That's the answer to part A. What about part B? Well, I look at this and say, what is this doing? It sort of looks a lot like, which is AND. This is what an AND gate would look like. But it's kind of the opposite of that. So in fact, you could call it opposite and, or its real name, or its official name is NAND, or not AND. Sorry, this guy here is NAND. So you might have called it that. If you called it something like Fred, that's not technically wrong, but it shows that you weren't really thinking about what was going on in this particular truth table. Yeah?
For this homework assignment, I had that right answer, and I got voted off for it. There was like a few questions that I had the right one to.
Now, is it possible that you resubmitted?
Yeah, that number, I emailed it to you. I couldn't change the answer, but...
Yes and no. Like, yes, I remember that, but no, I don't know that that actually made it into the grading flow.
Because I put them both up to Kai. Like, one, I submitted two attachments, and one said, like, this is the final. But either way, the only difference in question was, like, number three.
And
I had that right for both.
So you had reason to... Oh, you had it right even in the first one you submitted.
Yeah, because the only answer I changed was number three.
Okay, well, we can fix that. So just bring it to our attention when we're not standing in front of everybody with these. So I mean, certainly if any of these presentations make you realize that something was amiss, just let us know and we'll fix it. This is a small enough group that it's not like, sorry, you know, what's done is done, you just have to live with it. I'm told that there's big classes where that's all they can do to keep from killing themselves. But you know, I like you guys. It's been fun talking to you. So just bring it to our attention. Okay, did anybody else have any other good names for this?
I didn't do the NAND, I actually broke it down, like, not in, I don't even know what it is right now, but, like, I did the whole thing.
The whole truth gave a name that was the whole truth table. This is the true, 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 false gate, which is accurate. So that would be okay, It's not quite as insightful as NAND, but it's correct. Any other good names? Josephine. I always like the name Joseph. All right, so, yeah, what I was hoping is that you'd notice that it's related to a gate that already had a name. If it were literally, if it were false, 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 true, and I said, name that gate, you really should say and. You should notice that that's really an and gate. You could call it something else, but showing that you understand it is always a good thing. All right, so this of course got a wild array of possible answers. I'm not sure what to really say about it so much.
I didn't even answer this.
You just didn't even try?
No, I couldn't.
You want it right now?
Sure.
Okay, what do you got?
Oh, I can. You can.
Oh, you want me to do
it?
So the sort of thing I was looking for is you have to take something that's in the real world and explain how you can view it as implementing these sorts of things. So an example might be, okay, it's going to be a dog track. And there's going to be places for the dogs to run, little tunnels that the dogs can run in. And if the tunnel has a dog in it, that's a 1. And if the tunnel doesn't have a dog in it, that's a 0. How do the bits move? They run around from one place to another. How do the bits spread? Well, now you have to kind of say, all right, well, if we've got... Okay, you've got a dog. And it's running in one of its tunnels. Maybe did you say hamsters?
I said they have puppies.
They have puppies. So that would be one way to do it, though you'd think that there'd be issues in getting the timing to work out, just so. But what you'd sort of need is, to make it split, that means that the dog's going to run here, and then we need to have two dogs. If a dog comes, then two dogs have to come through one of these Ys, these splits. So one way to do that would be to have a little dog here. It doesn't have to be a little dog. You have another dog here that's in a cage, and there's a little trip wire that if this dog goes running through past here, then this dog is released into the other tunnel. So now that information can travel to multiple places. They're like messenger. They're messenger dogs. Okay, all right. How do you build a not gate? All right, so that's a little tricky with the dogs, right? So that's basically saying if you've got a dog running down a tunnel and it goes through a not gate, then if the dog is there, then it shouldn't be there after it goes through the not gate. That's the easy case, as it turns out. Right? How do you make a dog disappear? Well, you have, you know, a pit or something, I don't know, whatever. The dog runs through the not gate and it's not a dog anymore. But the harder case is if there's no dog, then there has to be a dog coming out the other side. So I didn't think this through all the way because I'm making this up on the fly. But One way to do that might be to actually have some kind of timer here that releases a dog unless the dog has already fallen into the pit. It's a special kind of timer. It's a knot timer. It's starting to seem more and more inhumane, but I assure you that no dogs were harmed in the construction of this particular example. How do you build an OR gate? An OR gate... okay, I can do this. An OR gate has the property that we've got two passageways coming here, and it has to be the case that if a dog comes down either of these passages, it will continue to go through this passage. That's not hard, right? We can have a little doggy gate, little doggy door gate on each side here, and if, as long as a dog comes through, it can't go backwards. It has to continue along this way. All right. But what if there's no dogs, then there'll be no dogs coming out. That's how OR works. The slightly tricky part is, what happens if there's dogs coming down both of these passages? So for this to be an OR, we have to only let one dog come out the other side. So, and you know, once again, we're back to the standard thing. Once you go through this doggy door, there's actually a little switch on it that creates a pit to swallow up the dog coming the other way. So once one dog goes through, only one dog. There can be only one dog. All right. So that would be an example that, though probably not implementable, would at least satisfy all the different conditions here of the what it takes to be a computer. And then you could build a big dog track computer and solve all kinds of, you know, dog problems.
But then you need to make sense.
Pardon me?
Then you really need to make sense.
It makes a sort of sense. Dog pits? There's dog pits all over the world. There's dog pits. It's sad, but it's true. What's that?
Not the knot pit.
The knot pit is a little weird, but it's doable, right? You just have it's a cage. Anyway, it makes sense. It makes logical sense. It just doesn't really make practical sense. Yeah, yeah. It's whimsical, right? And I didn't mean for this one to turn out as cruel as it did. It ended up going that. I have the most respect for our four-legged friends. All right, that's the sort of thing. Some other people said stuff about, I don't know, should I do the example that you sent me, or is that just not? Okay. There was one example involving digestion that was definitely creative, but the logic didn't quite flow, if you will. All right, moving on. Any other questions about that? Yeah, okay. Antonym 9. I think that generally went well. I think some people had trouble with it because it didn't actually work on their computer. But it was just a question of finding a strategy, of playing with it long enough that you find a strategy that gets you the win. Does anybody need to see that? Notice there's no yellow tag on this one, so this would be just for your edification. We good? All right. Zunhai. All right, so these guys were a bit more interesting, and they also have a yellow tag. So let me take a couple minutes on this. Erase our dog pits. Good work. If I have to build it, I'll build it. My daughter, almost every day, my daughter wakes up and says, "So is today the day we can get a dog?" And the answer is always no. But she'd be really happy if I bought a dog just so that I could do, you know, some kind of demo.
She should bring an iPhone.
Oh, I've done that. I bought her Nintendo dogs, which they're as cute as real dogs, except, you know, all the poop is just confined to the device. She likes it, but it's not a dog, as far as she's concerned. All right, so what can they be? All right, so we've got a couple truth tables. We'll do one, and then we'll do the other. What is it? False. False, true, true. False, false, true, true, true. All right, so here's what I'd like to do. I'd like to give you the very general way of solving these problems that always works. It's just not always the clever way. And then I'll give you the clever way doesn't have a way. The clever way is just, you just notice something. All right, so let me explain the general way to do this. So here's what you do. We want a logical expression that is true whenever what? Whenever A is false and B is true, this case, or whenever A is true and B is true. So one way we can say that is not A and B, This is an expression, when is this true? This is true exactly when B is true and A is false. In other words, that line of the table. So all I did in this case is I noticed where the first true was, and I wrote, if it was false, I wrote not, and if it was a true, I just wrote the letter, and I added them together and got that. Okay. Now we're going to say for A and B. A and B is true exactly in this last case here, where A is true and B is true. Right? This is an expression. A and B is an expression that's only true if both A and B are true. Just like that. If we OR these two things together, we get an expression that's true if this condition holds or this condition holds. In other words, exactly where we want the trues to be. So the general technique is you go down the truth table, take the outputs, whichever outputs are true, you write down an expression with AND saying, you know, not the variable if it's false, unknotted if it's true, AND them together, and then connect them all together with ORs. Right, you do that for each thing that's true, then OR them all together, and that actually works. That will give you an expression for any truth table that you're given. Yes?
So that one
is
C
equals
B.
For this one, so this is the unclever way, the automatic way where you don't actually think, you just follow steps blindly. It turns out that in this case, it's just B, right? This is true here and here. Those are the two cases where B is true. So there's the shortcut in this case is you just write B. But there's no mechanical way of doing that, right? If I give you an arbitrary truth table, I can't say, other than notice if it's just B. You can do that. You can notice if it's just B. And I was hoping you would, because I wasn't trying to disguise it. But this is a method that actually gives you the answer even without any kind of thinking or luckiness or simplicity, okay? All right, the second one, we can also solve. Let's see, was that the whole question? Write a logical expression to match the truth table on the left. So the answer could be B, the answer could be not A and B, or A and B. Well, you think about this logically, right? So, what's that, A and not B? Oh, I nodded the wrong, no, that's right. You're saying for the next table. Yeah, let me just finish with A, just a little bit longer. Let's put in English words here, and you'll be able to see why these two things are equivalent, why this expression and B are equivalent. If I can just find the right words. All right, so I'm happy if I don't drink Mountain Dew and have Kit Kat for dessert, or if I drink a Mountain Dew and have a Kit Kat. Now you see why I do the printed slides. My handwriting is coming for dessert. All right, if I said this to you, I say, you know what, any day in which I don't drink a Mountain Dew and I have a Kit Kat, I'm happy. Though I'm also happy if I do drink a Mountain Dew and have a Kit Kat, then I'm happy. Then you'll say, the Mountain Dew is irrelevant, right? You basically said, if you don't have it or if you do have it, you get the same answer. Yeah, actually all that matters is that I have a Kit Kat for dessert, B. All right, so A here was drink a Mountain Dew, so either I drink a Mountain Dew or I don't drink a Mountain Dew, and B was I have a Kit Kat. So there's kind of an algebra in Boolean algebra, where you can actually take an expression like this and simplify it to something else. We didn't go through all that. It takes a little while to learn how to do it very fluidly. I didn't want to spend a lot of time on it. But you might have noticed that, or you could use that in the future if it helps you. Okay? Any thoughts or questions about that? That is kind of mechanical in general. All right, so the second one, we're going to do the same trick for the second table, the mechanical trick. The mechanical trick says, find all the places where C is true. In this case, there's just one. And then you put the variable if we have true and not the variable if it's false. So this is A and not B. So the expression A and not B is true in exactly the case where A is true or B is false. So we get exactly this truth table. So the answer to part B is just that. It's just A and not B. Okay? And if you didn't know that before, it's okay. The homeworks are not as worth as much as the exams. You'll get a chance to show that you know it now on the exam.
Woo.
All good. Okay. Any other questions about that? Do you see how to do that more generally? No? All right. If you feel like you need to, so to study for this kind of exam, when we get to the exam, you certainly make sure that you can do the ones on the homework. And if you feel like you're still not quite confident in it, you can make up your own problems and try to solve them, but you might not know if you got the right answer. So feel free to ask for example problems. We can make up example problems of this form, because they're easy to make up, right? Just pick random values of true and false. All right. This one, a lot of people didn't get this right. And maybe just because you just got confused. So, all right, so part A. Yeah, it would be easier to just scratch out as we went here. All right, so false or, I'm just going to write that. F or not D and F, double paren, or D and F. All right, so we simplify this one from the inside out, as always. So the innermost parentheses are a couple places, but here's one. True and false is false. This whole thing is just false. Not true is false. So this thing here is false. False and false is false. So we get that. False or false is false. And false or false is false. So the answer is false. Is that too fast or slow? If you're not getting it, do practice. All right, the next one, not, true and false, or true, or not false, or false and not false. Okay, so not false is true. False and true is false. Okay, true and false is false. False or true is true. So there should be, is that the whole? There's still an imbalance though.
There's no. No, that, don't add that one.
Don't add that one yet. So this, I'm assuming that one of the reasons to get this wrong is not so much not understanding, but just kind of losing it on the bookkeeping. Paren, paren, true and false. Right paren, or true. Right paren, or not false, right paren, or false and not false. Okay, trying this one more time. Not false is true, false and true is false. This guy, false and true and false is false. Yeah, that's better. Good. False or true is true. Not true is false. Not false is true. Not true is false. Not false is true. false or true is true. True or false is true. True. Sometime later. All right. And the last one. Paren. Not true. Or not false. Or not false. And not false. Or not. Double paren. Not false. Or false. Okay, not false is true, not true is false, false or false tonight is false, okay, false or false is false, not false is true, true or false is true. Not true is true, but not true is false. Not false is true. Not false is true. Not true is false. True or false is true. Almost there. Not false is true. True or true is true. True and true is true. Easy. Irritating. All right. So I don't know that there was conceptual problems on that one. It's hard to tell. So one thing that Monica pointed out is the more that you write in terms of explanation, the easier it is to give you partial credit. So do that, because we can at least follow to see where you fell off track, and I'll actually give you a suggestion. You may not have noticed it, but Sakai actually lets you do that. You can type into what was the answer, and it comes out in red, so it looks like you wrote on it with red typing. Kind of cute. Yeah?
What is false and false?
False and false is false. The only way to get true with and is if you have true and true.
And false or false is false too.
Yep. Yeah. Right, so they all can, both and or both start off at false, and or switches over as soon as one or the other returns true. The and doesn't switch until both of them turn true. All right, so this one I think probably, when you see how I do this, if you didn't get this one, you're going to be annoyed with me. Maybe perhaps I should say more annoyed with me. This wasn't meant to be hard, but I think it got buried in the setup of the question. So you'll see it's actually just like multiplying two numbers together. All right, to compare two 32-bit patterns to see if they're identical, we can construct an equal 32 gate. Equal 32. So an equal 32 gate takes, I'm not going to draw them all, but 32 bits as input, and then another 32 bits as input, and produces one bit of output that just says, is the pattern on these bits exactly equal to the pattern on these bits? That's all, that's its job. There's a whole bunch of different ways of doing it. What I'm saying is, we can figure out how many ands, ors, and nots gates would be needed to make an equal 32 gate by following the model of the equal 5 that I had in the notes. So the way that the equal 5 worked is there was a gate called equal. We had, and what equal does is it takes single bits in and produces one bit out and just says, is the bits that are coming in the same? Are they both true or are they both false? It produces an output. And this was made with both true. Would be one and, so let's see, so, and this says it in the notes, equal has one and, two ors, and two nots. All right? And we need one of these for each pair of bits. So we get this times 32. We need to get equal 32, we need 32 of them. To equal 5 gate had 5 of them. We need one for each of the bits. Then we have a bunch of equality tests that we now need to reduce using an AND gate, an AND 32 gate, which basically says, all right, we now know if these two bits are equal, 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 if they're all equal, if all those things are true, then equal 32 should be true. So we need an AND 32 gate, which is constructed out of, let's see, AND 32, which is constructed out of 31 AND gates, nothing else. We just have one of those. So, how many AND gates do we have? 32 plus 31, 63 ANDs. How many ORs? 2 times 32 is 64. How many NOTs? 2 times 32 is 64. That seem right?
I think it was something like 2 ANDs, 1 OR, and 2 NOTs, or something like that. I think it was like 2
ANDs. Yeah, I swapped these. You're right.
I don't know.
Yeah, the final numbers are right. This is an OR, and this is an AND. Good, all right, so then we get 2 times 32 is 64, plus 31 is 95. And the ORs are 32, and the NOTs are 64. That seems right. Okay, so really, it's just a question of, you don't even have to really work out the circuits. Just following the guide of the equal 5 gate, you need 32 of these and one of these. I told you how many of each kind of gate was in this one. Kind of, you can infer how many kind of gates were in this one, even if you didn't wire them up. And then you just kind of count them. It was just a question of counting. Right? 32 times plus whatever. Yeah?
For 95 ANDs.
So there's, each of the equal gates has two ANDs in it, and there's 32 such gates. So that's 64. Did I add it right? 64. And then there's 31 AND gates from over here. So you get 95 altogether. So if I were to ask a question like this on the exam, I would say explicitly, you make this big complicated gate out of smaller gates. The smaller gates have this number of ANDs, ORs, and NOTs. Count them up. How many do you need altogether? I'm just trying to reinforce the idea that a big function is actually decomposed into smaller functions, which in turn is decomposed into smaller functions, and eventually caches out into ANDs, and ORs, and NOTs. And how many altogether do you get when you do that? Yeah?
Certain cases different number of the ANDs, so you always take two different, but then you have 32 bits on the far left. When you first start getting, you take whatever your asking number and do it twice. For an equal kind of gate, yeah, like for an equal gate, you'd have 10 of these and 10 of those, that's right. Okay, so you'd need 10 equal gates, and then you need an AND 10. And 10 would have 9 AND gates in it, one less than the number of bits.